go. What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Wolfpack Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Doug Clements. Here with me, as always, are my two co-hosts, Michael Plant and Ike Bonney. What's up, fellas?
Sup?
Not country, but howdy, howdy.
Nice, dude. Howdy, how's your guys' Friday night?
It's going fine.
How about you? Like, you ever ask him how he's doing? Like,
you did. What do you want me to do? Two of them?
I know. It's always me. I mean, I feel like the only one who cares about Dylan.
Oh my God. Yeah, I don't really care.
Sounds about right. That's your best man right there.
Hell yeah, it is.
Fucking A plus one.
But you guys don't want to talk to me, so we might as well just jump into stuff, guys. But before we do, I just want to remind everybody, please smash that like button. excuse me. Please subscribe to the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel. We appreciate it. And then head on over to fantasysixpack.net.
There you go.
/plans and check out those memberships, guys. We got rankings over there. We got the Discord. It's mainly the Discord, man. It's badass. We got DFS tools. Go on, check it out. Sign up and then come ask us anything you want in the Discord. We have a lot of unlimited
questions. I mean, you always try to ask these people on Twitter or whatnot, and they don't always answer. We always answer. Whatever question, guys, we will answer for you. We are always there.
Yes, sir. But like I said, let's jump right into it. Guys, we got a London game, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, 8:30 here, back at home where we are in Wisconsin. Minnesota Vikings versus the New Orleans Saints. Ike, Kirk Cousins has kind of been just kind of okay this season. Yeah. Are you starting him this week over in London?
Against the Saints, no. Because Saints are actually been pretty good against quarterbacks. They're only allowing, I think it was 13 or some odd points a game. And weirdly, Kirk Cousins has never gone or has yet to go over 20 fantasy points this year, which is kind of surprising with all the weapons he's got, but it's something to note. I wouldn't only be starting him in super flex type leagues as your second quarterback.
Sure. I actually had him as my sick quarterback in my article this week. Would you start him or would you start Russell Wilson against the Raiders?
Wilson.
That's a good one.
We'll go to it later, but this is the week you need to be starting him, if anything.
Sure. Okay.
Big week for him.
Yep. And then let's talk about his running back, man. Delvin Cook going down with another shoulder injury. I think he suffered one last year as well. But he is going to play. Are you worried that if you play him and he takes one wrong hit on that shoulder, he's going to be limp or going off to the sideline and not coming back?
Oh, there's always a ton of worry, but you have to start him because it's Dalvin Cook. I mean, he could go off for 150 yards and a touchdown, but you should definitely worry a little bit about a shoulder. Mm-hmm. And hopefully if you have Cook, you already tried to get Madison by now.
LaPlante, let me throw this at you real quick. Do you think with Cook playing, does Madison still have standalone value? Will he get enough touches to make it worth a start?
Not in a London game and not against the Saints run defense. I mean, the Saints pass defense is not that great. That's probably due to the fact they traded Chauncey Gardner and they don't have Malcolm Jenkins anymore. They got Tyrann Mathieu. He's a little out of his prime, but their run defense is still good. It's the run defense that really, you know, puts this team on their back. So I don't think Madison has value unless, you know, you see Minnesota being down this game and, you know, Kirk dumping it off, which I don't see that. I think the Saints are going to get a nice big L, and I know Jameis ain't going to eat it. But
yep. Do we expect Justin Jefferson to have a bounce back week this week, guys? Because we said that he was our wide receiver one heading into the end of the season, and we've been wrong through 3 weeks. It's Cooper Kupp. It's always been Cooper Kupp, I guess.
It probably always will be.
Yeah.
I mean, for a couple more years at least.
Yeah.
Panic meter on Jefferson?
He's going to get back. It's a mini slump. All receivers do it. Not all receivers are Cooper Kupp. They're not always consistent week in and week out. It's the most inconsistent position. This is going to happen.
Okay, fair enough. Mike, jumping over to the Saints offense now. With Michael Thomas sidelined this weekend with a toe injury, that damn turf toe, man. Do you want to start anyone in the Saints offense? Sorry, I buried the lead too. Jameis Winston is out as well. We got the Red Rifle throwing rockets to the receivers this weekend. Andy Dalton. You starting anyone, Mike?
There's really only two like locks I'm playing, and it's unfortunately Kamara, just because you kind of have to, unless you have, you know, a plethora of RBs, which I don't think
he is not seeing.
He kind of blows, man.
It might help with Dalton.
That's what I was gonna say. Hopefully, with Michael Thomas out, you got Jarvis Landry, you know, banged up a little bit. Olave is not going to see 20 targets. I would like to see Kamara, you know, get a little bit involved here. Hopefully we don't see, you know, the reemergence of Traquan Smith or Marquez Callaway. So I really only want Olave and Kamara. Olave, back-to-back weeks of 13 targets. He's got 29 total on the year. The guy
insane amount of air yards.
Yeah, it leads the league in air yards, and it's not even close. Next one's Cortland Sutton. Yeah. Well, it's 20 yards less, which is just kind of stupid.
I'm just honestly worried about Chris Olave with Andy Dalton at quarterback now. Jameis likes to just send it, man. He likes to just say screw it and throw. You know, that's how he gets all that air yards. I don't see Andy Dalton really doing
it. I kind of like Kamara a little bit more.
I don't like anybody. I really have this game kind of used me out, man.
It's going to be more of a PPR game for, you know, your liking, because Andy Dalton is still going to be accurate. He's not going to be chucking it downfield, you know, getting all these air yards, if you're into that.
I love it.
He's actually going to be getting catches. I mean, he could, if he gets 13 targets, we're talking about a chance of actually catching all 13 of those targets from Andy Dalton. He's not a bad quarterback. He's accurate. He just doesn't have a big arm.
Mm-hmm. Say you need a tight end this week, guys. What do you think about Taysom Hill? With Jameis being down, does he get a few plays at quarterback? Does he get a little bit more run of gadget plays without them having their quarterback? What are we thinking here? Tight end's a wasteland. Tight end's a wasteland, man. Come on. What do you think?
If you just had T. Higgins maybe go bonkers, and then you had like.
You can't. No. Don't. You're not starting Taysom Hill unless you're playing in a 16-team league.
Dude, but what if he does play quarterback for a few snaps and just throws a touchdown for no apparent reason?
But that's the thing. You can't bank on touchdowns. You don't. You pray for touchdowns, but you don't always get them.
I don't know. He's kind of an enigma. If you 12-team league or deeper, why not?
It's a weird game, deep, too.
10-team, no. There's 10 tight ends that are play it for sure.
Yeah.
He's just deeper. That's it.
Good answer. That's a good answer. Next game here, guys. We got the Cleveland Browns at the Atlanta Falcons. Ike, are you still cool starting Amari Cooper and Kareem Hunt every week, or is it kind of matchup dependent?
I was wrong about Amari Cooper this year. He looks very good, actually, even with Jacoby Brissett. He's rocking a 30% target share, which is absurd, the best of his career. Will he keep that up? I doubt it, but still, he's good enough to start as wide receiver two every week. And most of you probably drafted him as a flex, maybe. So if you have him in a flex, that's an embarrassment of riches, kind of.
I guess it doesn't matter if the targets are shit or not, because they're obviously not very good coming from Jacoby Brissett, but he's making the most out of him the last two games, at least.
And obviously he's going to get open because route running and all that. So just depends, like you said, or like we've seen in the past, what if he takes off a game and the biggest game you need him? So it'll always be risky.
What do you think about Kareem Hunt against this Atlanta defense? Are you starting him as an RB2 this week?
I think he's more of a flex option, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Back-to-back weeks of under 10 fantasy points.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's getting a little sketchy.
He kind of needs – and this is kind of like the thing with always Kareem Hunt, though. He has a few bad weeks, and then he comes back up and gets the catches and all that. If they're playing down, I kind of like it, but it's kind of going to be a slow game, I feel like, maybe, so –
he kind of relies on touchdowns a little bit to obviously
risky flex stuff, for me. I would not put him at RB2.
And that I didn't put this on the sheet, Mike, so I'm just going to throw it at you. David Njoku, who had like 26 to 28 points last week. Are we trusting him as a tight end?
Stefanski said that was strictly due to the coverage, which tells me that, you know, this will happen. It's going to be hard to choose these games, you know, try to pick him against the good matchups, you know, against tight ends. You know, check out Fantasy Pros, see who sucks against tight ends in his matchups, and, you know, play him then. Because if the coverage dictates it, he is going to get the targets. But if it's not there, you know, He's not going to get it. He's again, a shitty tight end in a wasteland.
He will be a red zone threat for sure, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that, Ike. And then, Mike, jumping over to the Falcons, we know we're not really starting Mariota. You're probably starting Cordero Patterson with what he's done so far. Drake London, man.
You got to monitor Cordero Patterson. He did not practice today. This is the second day in a row he did not practice.
I kind of just assumed that they were giving him just like a veteran rest day.
They did on Wednesday.
That's what I thought. But if, yeah.
He's not on Thursday, and I did not see him practice today.
Mm-hmm.
So just monitor that. That's all.
But if you want to talk about how awesome Drake London is, man, or if you want to talk about Kyle Pitts' semi-bounce back because he had a good half last week against the Seahawks.
Yeah, totally invisible the second half. All good, mm-hmm. You know. He blew his load in the first half. That's all. Cordell
happens
Patterson,
to the best of us.
Cordell Patterson, if he is out, I do expect Kyle Pitts to get a little bit more target share thrown his way. But, you know, Drake London, let's talk about him. 32.9% target share, fourth in the league for wide receivers, only behind Cooper Kupp, the stud, CeeDee Lamb, and A.J. Brown. I mean, this is even better than we all imagined. I know it's shitty Mariota looks, but the red zone looks too. He's getting touchdowns.
This is like way better than we imagined.
Yeah. I mean, way better than you imagined. I knew he was going to be good. You didn't think he'd be shit.
He's so good, man. It's
no, like, I just thought Garrett Wilson would be better.
Friend Pete, if you're listening, you can't trade Drake London, man. Anyway,
no.
he's someone you want to keep, I think, on your rosters for sure.
Starting too, man.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of – it got me excited with the flashes from Kyle Pitts in that first half last week. So I'm curious to see – because he's seen at least seven targets in two out of three games, guys.
Which is 23.7 target share, which is still modest. Anybody 20% and more, you're starting on your roster. It's just
– yeah, it's very nice, yep.
He reminds me of Marquez Valdes-Scantling right now because his catch rate's 50%, and he's got zero touchdowns. So he could maybe catch the ball a little bit more. Maybe Mariota's saving all of his good targets for Drake London. I don't know. That's just me.
Sure. And then we got a couple questions, guys. How impactful will Bridgewater be to Hill as my wide receiver one? I actually don't – I like Tua, and I like the way he was playing. I don't think Bridgewater is that far. Bridgewater is that far of a drop from Tua. They kind of do the same things, right? They kind of got weaker arm strength. They checked out a little bit. No, I agree.
Teddy's just got like a step or two even more than Tua. Like less arm strength, a little less accurate. I mean, Teddy's got some.
I mean, he got the ball to Tyreek.
I was going to say, I should have got to my point quicker. I think Teddy's going to be able to dink and dump and get those quick passes to Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, just like Tua was doing. So I think Tyreek Hill's honestly going to be totally fine.
He'll be fine. Yeah.
Because of the yak.
I mean, let's be honest here. Tyreek Hill has 89 air yards on the year. If he was on the Chiefs right now, that would be probably tripled. We'd be talking about how this is a big deal that our starting quarterback's gone down. But no, the scheme here for McDaniels is get Tyreek the ball soon, quick, short yardage, kind of like a Deebo Samuel.
As much as possible.
And we even saw Bridgewater hit him on a decent long pass last night. So, and Bob, I think he's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. You know, temper your expectations. But yes, you're still starting him. No problem.
The next one we got here, traded A.J. Brown and Damian Pierce for Ja'Marr Chase and Breece Hall. I like Ja'Marr Chase still slightly a little better than A.J. Brown. Breece Hall, yeah, I honestly kind of think it's a little bit of a wash. What do you guys think?
That is a pretty
good thing. Depends on how you view Breece.
Well, because your best player on the wide receiver side is Ja'Marr Chase. A.J. Brown is overperforming right now for him. He's also one of the other four guys, like we said, who has a 30% target share up there. Ja'Marr Chase is just going through a rough patch. We've seen his potential. T. Higgins has his games. But I think, man, I like Damian Pierce rest of the season more than Breece Hall just a little bit because I don't see Zach Wilson coming in and giving him 12 targets. Sorry.
Well, I think he takes over the backfield here and maybe like this week.
I mean, we've been saying that since last week and the week before. So when is he going to do
it? He finally took over the snaps last week, at least.
Let's save the Jets talk for when we get to that game, because I got a few thoughts for Zach Wilson.
Yeah, that's fair.
But jumping over to the next game, Mike, I'm going to start with you here. The Buffalo Bills at the Baltimore Ravens. This has got to be the game of the week, right? I mean, or it's Chiefs and Bucks later that we'll get to. But this game is... Ooh, this is going to be silly good, man. Ike, we saw Singletary get 11 targets last week. Do you think that could happen again? Or what are you thinking for this week against the Ravens defense?
I don't see 11 again. I can see it coming back to more like 4 or 5, 6 max. Because James Cook, they are like a legit designing pass plays for him and making him first read. Still, they want to get him involved, and it was actually a pretty important game to get him involved in. So, I mean, there's something to say about that. But this is a good week to start Devin Singletary, actually, because the Ravens are struggling a little bit. They're allowing 5 yards a carry. Pretty sure that's what it was. Yeah, and they're allowing the fourth most catches to running backs, which we'd like to hope Singletary still is the guy for now.
It seems like he was the only person they trusted last week in Miami, to be honest with you, out of that.
Especially with Diggs having cramps.
Yeah,
it's the pass pro. It's the pass pro, man.
You're exactly right, Mike. He's very solid, but I know we talked offline today about it. I am worried about eventually them working James Cook more into the passing down work. And Singletary really only had like a 7% target share.
We're talking about a team. We're talking about a team that passes, you know, what, 30 to 40 times a week? Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of pie to go around here.
I love pie.
Mm-hmm.
Ike, next question here I got for you. If no Davis, it's trending like he's going to play because he re-aggravated that ankle. We've seen a little bit of flashes from Jamison Crowder, and we've seen some things from Isaiah McKenzie. Which one are you taking if no Davis?
McKenzie by a mile. McKenzie got 9 targets last week.
Not 2 miles, not 3 miles. On the year. Just one.
3 miles. I put 3 miles on here, but he has the same amount of targets in 1 week as Crowder has through his all 3 games. So it's McKenzie for sure.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Mike, jumping over to the Ravens now. I want to talk to you about J.K. Dobbins against Justice Hill. I have a feeling they're going to try to. No. Listen, hear me out here. They gave Dobbins only 7 touches last week. I hope they give him more than that this week. But, you know, they still could ease him in because that was a terrible injury. The offensive coordinator or somebody called Justice Hill a star in one of the press conferences this week, man. And he looked pretty good last week. So I'm just curious, for this week and this week only, Mike, I'm not asking you for the rest of the season. Yep, who do you want in your lineup, Dobbins or Justice Hill?
This week it's Dobbins, rest of the season it's Dobbins. The thing here is, you know, the Ravens didn't have Dobbins last year. They had Devontae Freeman. They had Tyson Williams. And you know who else they had? That's right, Justice Hill.
He was hurt, you jerk.
I mean, even when he was healthy, he still wasn't used. It's not like he was hurt the whole year. But that's my whole thing is yes, Justice Hill showed some flashes, and that's great because this is a great offensive line. It's a great running screen scheme. Greg Roman knows what he's doing. And he's going to get, you know, these touches where he's going to come in off the bench and have a lot of, you know, energy, where J.K. Dobbins, I think, is going to be a little bit more of, you know, it's not going to be a, you know, full-fledged workhorse, but it's going to be J.K. Dobbins from here on out. They were just easing him in, and he didn't look that bad. And he did not re-aggravate it. He's not on the injury report this week. I am all for J.K. Dobbins this year. You know, I just don't think he's going to get, you know, those 300-plus rushing attempts we thought.
How many touches are you expecting this week for him?
I mean, I still expect there to be some easing into it, but I believe there's some confidence behind it. So I think at least 15.
Oh, I was going to say 10 to 12.
That's a big jump, though, Mike. That's a big jump.
I believe 15.
I don't know if we'll see that. Okay. All right.
He looked just fine. I know it was a gruesome injury, but he did not re-aggravate it. He wasn't on the injury report. Everything is all signs pointing up.
Sure. And then here on this one, let's just talk Rashad Bateman here. He was being drafted in around wide receiver 3 territory. He's shown flashes of that big playability, man. Are you plugging him in every week? No worries at like your wide receiver two, wide receiver three spot, or are you a little hesitant from what we've seen so far? This is D. LaPlante.
My apologies. I was answering one of our questions here. But yes, the hype for Bateman's over, guys, as our wide receiver one. He's okay. Not going to finish there. Wide receiver two. This is what he is. It's just what he is, and it's what this Baltimore offense creates. It's the same we saw last year with Marquise Brown and the year before that. It's very reminiscent. Just to give you a little, you know, insight to their offense, Bateman has an 18% target share. Remember, we told you that 20% is that, you know, peak we start our players at. Now, granted, we're starting Bateman either way because this is an explosive offense, and he gets the air yards, he gets the deep threat. But Mark Andrews has a 36.5% target share. That's double Bateman. That's what we were expecting, you know,
that's more so of sexy, that. To man. Be.
Oh. It is. It is, especially when you got, you know, me and you on a team with him and Lamar Jackson. But, you know, go moving on.
Major sexiness with those three guys on the same team, man.
We thought some of that target share was going to be moved over to Bateman, and it hasn't yet. So, I mean, there's still room for it to go there because I don't expect Mark Andrews to sustain that all year. But as of right now, Bateman is not that wide receiver one. He's a wide receiver two. You still start. Begrudgingly.
Yeah, we don't agree often, man, but I agree with you there. Next game we got here, the Washington Commanders at the Dallas Cowboys. Ike, are the days of starting Carson Wentz over within the first 3 weeks of the season?
Yeah, yes. Playtime is over for the Wentz lovers. He came back to earth like I expected. Even in those good fantasy games, you're still throwing picks and getting sacked. Just now, it's just...
And Terry, yeah, not good in real football. I guess he was the second half of week one. He was good.
Their offensive line is not great. They can't get a running game going. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I think... Started him. Not getting the running game going definitely hurts them. Speaking of the running game, though, like, I'm curious, where do you have Antonio Gibson in your rankings?
Have him 24.
Yeah, just on the fringe.
In PPR or half?
PPR, yes. Okay, I still believe he can get some receiving work, and for some reason he likes finding the end zone. So
he's got a nose for it.
I'm pulling up.
I like to mention the running back right now is just brutal. Like as we saw, Clyde ended up as RB13. He had zero rushing yards and like four catches. So. That's sweet.
Antonio Gibson just gets all the red zone work right now. I mean, we're looking, you know, inside the 20, which is all the red zone. He's got all the attempts. Now, this may change when, you know, Brian Robinson eventually comes back. But right now, he gets all the, you know, red zone touches.
You're starting him for sure.
And then he gets some of the PPR work, which is nice. It's like a, you know, cherry on top.
Like Antonio Gibson or Josh Jacobs. Come on, this is supposed to be fast.
I think I have.
Who do you have higher in your ranking? Stick with
Gibson, your one higher than Jacobs, so Gibson.
That's Gibson. All right.
I like Gibson or more. Gibson or Ezekiel Elliott.
Zeke.
And then one more. Gibson or Jeff Wilson Jr.
Jeff. KFA.
Okay. Also curious to see where you got Curtis Samuel and Jahan Dotson. Because we've seen Dotson have, you know, the touchdown ability, and we've seen Samuel just get peppered with targets. So kind of on opposite spectrums here. Where do you got him in?
Dotson 46 because you have to rely on touchdowns for him, and you can't rely on touchdowns every week. As for Samuel, I have him in the 35-36 range because he's getting the targets in this offense over even Terry McLaurin, which is weird. But I trust Curtis Samuel way more than I trust Dotson.
And then do you have, I see you wrote down Dobbs, Olave, and Dortch. Do you have
around Samuel? Yeah.
Is Samuel ahead of those guys?
No, I have Olave higher than him for sure. Dobbs, I think, is right behind him, and Dortch is right behind him too. Two behind him. Fair enough. I don't mind Dortch this week. We'll go into him later, but.
Okay. Mike, jump it over to the Cowboys. We saw Cooper Rush be pretty solid on Monday night against the Giants. Is he streamable this week, pal?
No, That's all I'm going to give you. No, we're not starting Cooper Rush in a 10 team. You know, obviously super flexes, yes, you can put him in there, but in one quarterback leagues, no, we're not starting Cooper Rush, guys. Sorry.
Yeah. Good question. Yep. Good answer, man. Let's jump good over question. To the back. Let's jump over to the backfield though, man. Cuz Lombardi, we saw both these guys produce, and honestly, both of them looked good in their own ways. Pollard looks explosive. Zeke did his plotting thing, man. He even got a couple pitches outside and looked decent. He ran somebody over to get in the end zone on his touchdown. I'm curious your thoughts on both these guys, Mike. And are you comfortable starting them at either your RB2 or your flex position? Because let's be real, at this point, everybody's RB2 sucks. So
that was right at my you hit me right at my floor. RB2 and flex is both their spots. I think they hit just enough for an RB2 for, you know, honestly, both of them right now with Pollard with the receiving work he's getting. Yeah, I feel safer with him as a flex, but I will definitely play Zeke in here as my RB2. We're looking here at poor man's Nick Chubb with Zeke right now. He's not getting the receiving work. It's all Pollard, which means Pollard's the Kareem Hunt in this situation. Pollard gets 10% of the target share compared to Zeke's 5. I mean, Zeke has 40 rushing attempts, Pollard's 28. So, I mean, Zeke is just no longer friendly in PPR formats. You know, it's more Pollard that's more friendly in those PPR formats. He's kind of turning into a James White type of role.
Get the touchdown chances, though.
Well, yes. Zeke will get the touchdown chances, but he will be touchdown dependent. Mm-hmm. That's going to be
the running backs are right now, man. I hate it.
Yes. But RB2 in this situation for rest of the season, I can only see it getting – better when Dak Prescott comes back. More touchdown opportunities.
Yeah, fair enough. Even though Cooper Rush, man, he looks good.
Quarterback battle.
Don't you dare say he's gonna outtake it, Dak Prescott.
No, hell no. I'll tell you what I said in the group chat on Monday during the game. He's better than Justin Fields right now. Say what you want. Yeah. He's not more talented, but he's
either that or the offense don't like Justin Fields for the Bears. I don't know if like Eberflus is like he's not my guy. I will not try and use him type of situation, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, we'll probably get into it. But let's answer a few of these questions we got here from Jack. I trade Jamal Williams, Drake London, and Keenan Allen for Austin Eckler, Amari Cooper, Breece Hall. Win or loss? Haven't accepted it yet.
Let me go here.
Swift, Jamal Williams, Drake London. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I was formulating an answer here. Now, here's the question. It's kind of a situational thing. If you're sitting 1-2 or 0-3, I think this is possibly a good trade for you because you're going to be out Swift for 2 weeks. The way Keenan Allen's hamstring injury is coming out, it doesn't look good, and I don't know if he's going to be back anytime soon. This is now the second game in a row. So you're going to be dealing with these injuries, and you're going to get an Austin Eckler, a healthy Amari Cooper, a healthy Breece Hall. You know, these are all players you can actually plug in. So if you're down and need wins, this is a good trade for now. It's not the best long term, but if you're down, this is a good trade. But if you're sitting pretty at 3-0, you don't need to make this trade.
I agree. And if you're listening earlier, I'm not trading Drake London. You know, but I agree to Mike's point. If you're struggling, I think you make the trade. But Austin Eckler's been down. Amari Cooper's been good. And Breece Hall's been up and down. So, you know, and we expect big things from Jamal Williams this week. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, sure. We expected big things from him in Green Bay. Look how that turned out.
Drake London's awesome. We never expected big things from Jamal Williams.
I did.
fair enough. Fair enough. Next one here. Who to start for flex full PPR? Jeff Wilson, Rashad Penny, Ramondre Stevenson. I'm just going to start. I think it's Ramondre Stevenson this week.
Even against
I like Packers Ramondre defense. A lot, man. But again, it's Packers defense, so you have to
keep but that you can in mind. Run on, but Jeff you can Wilson. Run on him, though, Mike.
Go Jeff Wilson.
Ike, you can run on him, though.
Leonard Fournette.
David Montgomery torched him.
That's a divisional game.
And if you ask anybody, he's not good at football. Ramondre Stevenson
is good. Personally, you know it. Keep that out of here.
Ramondre Stevenson's good at football. That's my thing, man. I think he's gonna bust out this week.
With
wrote about him in my article. He's gonna hold on. Hear me out. Brian Hoyer is check down king. Last time he threw over 200 passes in a season, he averaged the 34th lowest yards per attempt. Check down king. Ramondre Stevenson, we know he's a good pass catcher, guys. No Ty Montgomery. We've already seen Ramondre Stevenson pretty much take over the backfield. He played on 61% of the snaps last week compared to the 37 from Damian Harris. So I think they're going to be down, and I think that works out good. And like I said, in garbage time and the checkdowns. But I said Stevenson. Yeah. I said Jeff Wilson. Mike, where are you going?
With it being full point PPR, I like Ramondre Stevenson with the passing work going his way. But it's very close between Jeff Wilson and Ramondre Stevenson. But I think because it's PPR and the matchup with Jeff Wilson against the Rams, you lean Ramondre Stevenson because the Rams have a good run defense as well.
My man. From Cheddarhead here, full point PPR, Deontay Johnson, Curtis Samuel, Amari Cooper, Metcalf, and Antonio Gibson. I can only start two. I'm going to go Amari Cooper, and I'm going to go DK Metcalf, man.
Go ahead, Ike.
Amari Cooper and Deontay.
You can only start two full point PPR. There's no restrictions on positions here, huh? You're going Amari Cooper, and it's close between – I don't like Curtis Samuel this week. I believe his streak is going to end. So it's between Metcalf and Gibson, and I think this week, because of the matchup against – Okuda, who's been actually pretty good,
yes.
To start the season on Metcalf, fair. I think I lean Gibson and Cooper.
Fair Cooper, enough. No matter what.
Yes, Cooper, no matter what. Yes, sir.
Next one, flex. Who do I flex? CEH, Najee Harris. That one's easy for me. It's Najee Harris.
Yep. Bob, we love the question, but don't overthink it, my man.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which way you're going, Keith. they're good or bad. So if you
we've seen it,
out,
yes.
Okay,
we have seen it.
I mean, they held the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 12 points.
So then we got this one. Let's just try to go through this real quick. There's his roster, guys. He's trying to trade for Mark Andrews. What do you think he's going to need to package for that?
Oh, God.
Well, Mark Andrews is on
you're going to have to right give now up the Godfather package for him. Which means,
unfortunately,
too much you might want to do.
Probably.
Yeah, you're going to have to overpay.
Probably A.J. Brown and Rashad Bateman.
I don't think that gets it done. I think you're going to have to give up cup for Mark Andrews.
What about one of the tight ends? I think A.J. Brown.
I think Saquon has to go.
No, I think A.J. Brown, Bateman, and Schultz might get it done, guys.
I think you might be able to swindle Godwin instead of.
See, here's the thing.
He might counter with Cooper Kupp, but I'm not. There's zero chance he's beating.
That's the thing. You're buying Mark Andrews way too high right now. You're gonna have to give.
Not gonna lie, your team looks fine without Mark Andrews. You can get deal with Schultz and Conklin.
Yeah, Conklin, I believe is what is he tight end four right now in PPR.
Not that that's gonna sustain, but still he's doing fine.
It won't sustain, but man, a top 10 tight end out of the Jets' offense, that's a steal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But guys, I'm gonna move us back over to these game previews. We got the Seattle Seahawks at the Detroit Lions. We were just talking about some of the Lions, guys. Ike, let's talk about the Seattle backfield here. It's kind of a wasteland, to be honest with you, right now. They don't run any plays. They don't run enough plays, man. what are you thinking of this backfield? Are either of them startable? Or either three, I should say, since we're seeing DJ Dallas catch passes on third down.
In deeper leagues, you can go Penny. That's about it. 10-team, no. No, 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 no. You can find way better. The hype for Penny was way too high, and we had him at like RB30, and that was just too high even. So it's annoying, but whatever.
Are you still starting him in six pack? I
think I had. No, I put Singletary over him.
Okay. And then I want to pick your brain on these wide receivers, man, because.
Hey, real quick. Who's got less plays this year? Seahawks or Bears?
Bears.
Probably the Bears.
Dylan? Yep. They are the last.
By a lot.
159. No, it's not a lot. Panthers are only four ahead.
Oh, that's sweet.
go on.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about Lockett versus DK in this matchup. LaPlante kind of insinuated Okuda matching up with DK. Kind of wrote about that in my article over at
Fantasy. Totally forgot about that as well.
I do like Tyler Lockett this week. He's 11 targets, I want to say, back-to-back weeks. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it.
For some reason, this just seems like that week where you're like, all right, I'm going to trust Tyler Lockett finally. He's going to do what he's done the past 2 weeks, and then he drops the three catches for 20 yards for 5 points, and you're like, well, shit. I knew exactly that was going to happen. So I don't like that Okuda's on DK. That kind of is annoying, but I'm still leaning DK over Lockett.
I mean, maybe he will. We saw Xavier Howard matched up on T. Higgins last night.
Xavier got cooked.
He did. Because T. Higgins is an absolute man.
He is good.
And then Tyreek Hill did exactly what he said he was going to do to Eli Apple. He cooked him.
Uh-huh. I love it. But jumping over to the Lions now, Mike. Since Jamal Williams is startable, obviously, I think some places have him as an RB1, which is pretty wild.
It's borderline this week. You know, he's hanging around that RB13 range.
But with Jamal Williams, we saw him be the red zone guy even when Swift was in. What do you think about Craig Reynolds, man? Because we saw him flash last year at times when their whole backfield was banged up. Is he going to see enough touches to the point where maybe he could be fantasy relevant? Because we know Campbell likes to run a committee. It's kind of a deep question, man.
It is a deep question. You got to monitor this game first. You know, woohoo, Craig Reynolds. I mean, he's not Jamal Williams.
Craig.
There's a reason Jamal Williams is coming in on the red zone. This guy's a bruiser. So you monitor his first game, see how it's going without Swift, but I don't think you could start him. But you could possibly roster him if you got a spot, you know, IR spot, you know, locked up with somebody and you got a free spot to throw Reynolds on there. It's worth a roster spot to see because this offensive line for the Detroit Lions are just destroying defensive lines right now in the run game.
Yeah, man.
It's really good, Mike. It is. I don't remember the stat, but they lead the margin for runs before contact, and it's not even close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here we get a couple more questions. Which side of this trade do you prefer, Fournette and Mike Evans for Kamara and Hollywood Brown? I still like the Bucks side.
Even though you're, you know, Fournette not dispersing your equities here. Yes, I do like the Fournette and Mike Evans side here just because
Hopkins comes back.
Well, when Hopkins come back, Hollywood Brown will take a little bit of a hit. And then who's the other guy? Kamara. Obviously, we talked about his struggles in the passing game.
It's gross, man. I hate how he's being used in that offense.
Yes, you're fine. Hopefully, it gets bumped up this week without Michael Thomas. But Fournette's getting what we thought Kamara would get, so you stay put. Keep Fournette and Mike Evans. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fat Lenny just can't. He can't do anything on the ground right now. He is still getting. He's still
that's getting that offensive line.
The pass offense. Yeah, it's not good. Another one from. Bob, I have Najee Harris, Derrick Henry, CEH, Singletary, and Edmonds. With that said, would you trade Edmonds for Swift to a needy competitor? It's going to cost more than Edmonds just for Swift, man.
If that's what the offer is, I'd smash that in an instant.
Yeah, I'm going to assume you'd probably be more, if you want to get closer, I'd say he's probably going to want like Najee-ish for Swift, even with him banged up right now, to be honest with you.
If that is the actual offer, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're lucky, maybe you could, you know, you'd probably be better off packaging Edwards-Helaire over Edmonds just because he's got more points on the year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's probably going to be a Najee Harris or Derrick Henry type of move to get Swift, even with the injury.
Yeah, I agree. And then last one we got here, should I trade Mike Williams at ETN for Olave and Kamara? I'm going to answer that for all of us, no. Or Mike Williams, Elijah Moore, Travis Etienne for Amon-Ra. That would pique my interest, and I kind of want to pull the trigger though. It might be giving up a little much.
I want to go back to the last trade. I mean, like
you like the other one better.
It's interesting with, well, here's the thing. We're dealing with Mike Williams being himself again, being inconsistent. And I know you're high as hell on ETN. Asshole.
Way too high on ETN.
Way too high on ETN for how much James Robinson is involved in this offense. And we still
you
got
can get him for Kamara.
Yeah, you're getting Kamara in this.
Even though we just shit out
of him. Olave,
but
no. You get Olave, who's got 29 targets through three games. I think Olave is a breakout candidate this year. I mean, obviously, but during the second half, I really think he's going to thrive. So that is a questionable one. It depends on how you feel about the Herbert injury, because if you think Herbert's going to be playing healthy and good, you keep Mike Williams. But if you think Herbert's going to miss, I do like that trade.
And it's always nice getting rid of ETN.
What is ETN's role in the Jaguars offense?
Nobody knows.
I don't know. Do you know?
The pass catcher.
Is he
what is Alvin Kamara's role in the Saints offense?
Main rusher and pass catcher. Supposedly. He hasn't played either.
Michael Plant's gonna pull it up. I bet you he is right now.
Oh, you betcha.
ETN is averaging more points per game than Alvin Kamara is.
Well, ETN has 10 targets, all right, through three games. He's the pass catching back, but James Robinson has 7. So I think
like I
they
said,
just
he's
like
the,
Doug
like
Peterson
said,
likes to use
split,
this committee. Right.
I get it.
How many the pass catching back.
How many targets does Kamara have?
5, maybe.
New Orleans.
Like I said, what is his role?
He's got 11, more than ETN. So suck it.
I guess we don't know either of their roles.
Who averages more points per game?
And Kamara missed a game too.
Who averages
so
more
honestly,
points per game?
I like that trade. I like Olave and Kamara. I think you should do it.
I agree with Mike.
Pretty sure ETN averages more points per game than Alvin Kamara. 10-team PPR, start Chris Godwin, Thielen, or Damian Pierce. Godwin's not going to play, my man.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
Adam Thielen's touchdown maker till he's not. I said he's going to score a touchdown last week.
He didn't.
He did.
Oh, he did? I thought it was KJ Osborne.
They each caught one.
They both did.
It's a London game. He's going to catch one. His name sounds a little his name sounds a little British, so I'm going Adam Thielen there. What do you think?
All right. You wanted here it is. ETN averages 9.1 fantasy points a game, and Alvin Kamara averages 7.4 right now. Alvin Kamara hasn't gotten any touchdowns.
And he missed a game, by the way.
He missed the game.
It's points per game. That should help him if he missed the game.
But it's
that should help
point
him.
Difference.
You guys are
just stop being
bad.
So high. No, don't even. No,
stop being so high on Kamara. He's not good
I'm not
anymore
high
either.
On Kamara. We'll get into ETN later.
You're not high on Kamara. You're not high on Kamara. You're silly. Look what you just said. You'd want to do.
Mainly because Olaf.
I credit it to bad coaching.
No,
and we're
you're
going
trading,
off the rails.
He's trading Mike Williams, ETN, for Olave and Kamara.
Is this really what happened?
Yeah, no, I like it better.
Dylan's dead brain cells.
That's pretty funny. But let's move on, guys. We got to get back to these previews or this will go stupid long. Let's go.
Did we ever answer Brett's question?
We just did.
Okay. He said Thielen's going to score a touchdown. I'll believe Dylan on that one. He was right last week.
Yeah, I made the British joke that nobody laughed at. Man.
Yeah.
Name's a little British.
You don't start Chris Godwin when he's out, but it's between Damian Pierce and Thielen. And I disagree with you. I think you start Damian Pierce.
Yeah,
2-1, you lose anyway.
And
so.
I think you're stupid, so.
Says the guy who didn't even
Los
read
Angeles,
the question
we
right.
We got the Los Angeles Chargers at the Houston Texans this week. I don't know about you. This game really gets me going.
Oh, yeah, huh? Gets you going?
after what we saw from this Chargers offense.
Standards.
Let me get to the question, man. We're already running late, and you keep interrupting me every time I try to answer a damn question.
You're excited about a Houston Texans game.
It was a joke. I'm funny. After last week, Ike, are we worried about Justin Herbert with that rib injury? He's not on the injury report.
He just still has zip to the ball, but he looks a little off accuracy-wise. But
probably because his ribs hurt. That's Texans a good assumption, I think.
I think Texans a surprisingly
have a good defense. Granted, they played Chicago and Indianapolis Colts, who have been shit. It's just tough. I don't know what to really say for him. I really don't.
It's good. I mean, he's practicing. He's actually playing. He's showing he's tough. I mean, granted, you know, you don't like it. Shut it. The team is gonna rally around that. You want a leader that plays through these type of injuries. Granted, this is a bad injury. He still played through most of the game when he obviously shouldn't have, which means he can only get better as long as this offensive line can keep him healthy, and that's the problem.
Or the Sean injury Slater gets consistently worse.
Well, I mean, if they can protect him and, you know, play it smart, short passes, they're going to have to adopt a new type of offense for this to work. He does.
His short yardage guy in Keenan Allen and kind of his safety blankie,
Austin Eckler.
He's not using Austin Eckler as it, and he needs to.
Well, it's stupid Brandon Staley.
Eckler does have the most receiving catches from a running back, so he is being used.
But he sucks too, Ike. That's my goes into scored. My next question. Yeah, I know. Who would have thought he wouldn't score 20 touchdowns? But what is your panic meter on Austin Eckler? And then
not very high.
Really? Let's hear it.
He's still getting a lot of opportunities.
Score touchdowns now?
No, that does worry me that he gets zero. He has gotten zero goal line touches. Yeah, he's still getting only four red zone. Okay. But I think that's probably receiving, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. But he's getting the targets.
Two targets, two rushing attempts.
Okay, he's getting the targets, and especially with Herbert banged up, he's going to be seeing 8 to 10 targets a game for PPR, gold.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Especially and touchdowns will come at some point. It won't be 20. It might not even be 10. But he will get a few sprinkled in here and there to help him out.
What about Mike Williams, man? Are you 100% panicking on him? Or are you just kind of like, yeah, I drafted him. I knew what I was getting myself into.
Aaron, let me give you an example. The one game Keenan Allen's been out here, Austin Eckler had 18.4 fantasy points. That's not great, but that's 10 targets, 9 receptions. That's a great floor.
Mm-hmm. But I answered the Mike Williams question, panic meter.
Is that me or LaPlante?
That's you.
LaPlante keeps derailing us.
Oh, I'm derailing us.
It's not great that Joshua Palmer is kind of looking better than him. So that's a little bit worrisome. But, I mean, where you drafted him, you got to start him. Just definitely temper your expectations.
Sure. Okay. Jumping over the Texans offense that looked okay last week against the Bears defense. Mike, Damian Pierce had a solid day. He did fumble twice, lost one. Could be a little bit of concern going into this game because of that. Is he for real or was that a product of the matchup against the Bears last week?
Just so
let's rewind that. It was definitely a product of the matchup because Damian Pierce was allowed to do what he does best, and that's run the ball because they were in this game. For the majority, I mean, Texans were gonna win this game until Davis Mills threw an interception to Roquan Smith at the end, and Damian Pierce was leading that charge. It wasn't Brandon Cooks. It wasn't Davis Mills. It was Damian Pierce, and it was because of the game script that, you know, demanded it. So if you can predict game scripts where the Texans are going to be in it like this, you know, against a crappy offense.
Historically bad offense.
He's going to have value. It's just we're hoping he gets a little bit more targets because he only received 2 to Burkhead's 5. But he caught both of them. That's great. We love that. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, after he did lose that fumble, he did end up losing touches for Burkhead. I have a feeling that's probably just for the end of that game, and I think he'll be plugged right back in, and he'll get those touches on the ground and be fine. But, Mike, I want to talk to you about Brandon Cooks. You know, people drafted him thinking that he could be a really reliable wide receiver 3, and he's kind of had some rough weeks here. What are we thinking on Brandon Cooks?
Still a 27.9% target share, still 29 targets through 3 weeks, which is the same as Chris Olave, just not as many air yards. It's not as pretty.
If you're into that.
Yeah, the thing that's really not pretty here is Davis Mills has not thrown good balls to Brandon Cooks because he only has 13 receptions on those 29 targets. Like, typically, we're dealing with Brandon Cooks here catching usually 20 to 21 out of those 29 targets, and that's an extra 8 points right off the bat, you know, not including the yards. But I'm not, you know, super panicked on Brandon Cooks just yet because he's still getting a 25% plus target share.
He won't have to go against Jalen Johnson every week either.
I mean, yeah, whatever.
You want to know what's funny about all my Jalen Johnson stuff, Mike, last week? He didn't even play.
So what I just said was irrelevant as well.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I could have set you up better. He still hasn't been targeted on the season though.
That goes on for another game.
Hell yeah. But speaking of those Bears, speaking of those Bears, Chicago Bears at the New York Giants.
Where was it?
Just kind of letting you take the reins here on this fantastic Bears offense that doesn't run any plays, like we talked about it earlier. I mean, you probably want to start
fantastic offense.
Probably want to start
phenomenal.
Justin Fields.
Best I think of its generation.
Historically great offense. I was lying. Bad. The only one you're starting is Khalil Herbert. I better not see Justin Fields start anywhere. I swear to God. Same with Darnell Mooney, who's going to catch two balls on like six targets.
If you're starting Justin Fields, you get your fantasy football card revoked. I'm sorry.
I agree. But you should be starting Khalil Herbert.
In one quarterback leagues. You can probably get away with super flexes.
Only person is Khalil Herbert.
Ike, do you expect a big day from Khalil Herbert?
I expect a modest day, enough to get him to RB15 or higher.
Does he find the end zone?
Yes.
All right. That's what I like to hear, man. Bear down.
Go and put that over on the touchdowns. Mike says so.
But Mike, jump it over to the Giants here. We got, man, everyone is banged up in this wide receiver core. Yes. Wandell Robinson, Kadarius Toney. Everyone kind of sucks anyways. Who are you starting, if anybody?
I mean, I don't want to start anybody, obviously, besides Saquon Barkley. That's the only guy you want to start in this offense right now. But it's Richie James if you're super, super desperate. He's about the only safe option here with the target volume. He's got a 20% target share, which, I mean, it's not a whole lot. It's only 17 targets through three games. But the big thing here is Sterling Shepard, now that he's out, he got 24 targets, which is a 28% target share. Those got to go somewhere. I expect, you know, some of them to go to Barkley. Hopefully, I say monitor Galladay here because they honestly have no fucking choice but to play him. Kadarius Toney's hurt. Starling Shepard's done. I mean,
they could call Terrell Owens, maybe.
He looks like Chano Jocinco, man. Yeah.
No,
I'd play them over Kenny.
You monitor Galladay here because I think there's.
Stop saying that.
There's potential here because who the hell else are they
going to? You ain't monitoring shit. The only thing he's doing is running straight up the field.
You think Richie James deserves 28% of their targets?
I don't think he's going to get it.
Yes, he does. Rich James? Yep.
Rick James. That's his name now. Rick James.
Man, I remember a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed Dylan just going, you got to draft Galladay in the first round. This guy's a stud.
I did, and then I saw him run her out, and I'm like, oh, he's broke.
He's cooked.
I'm out. Yeah, I'm out.
Every player has a bad game, man. I mean,
no, I've seen him play three bad ones that he can't move in. Mike, I'm out. My hands are
I've
up.
Seen him. I haven't I'm seen out. Him play a good game since week probably 14 of 2019.
Yeah, from when he caught 11 touchdowns in a season.
Is he wasn't playing games though because he was injured.
No, 4 years.
Like, he's
ago,
actually
he's catching
healthy
11
this
touchdowns,
year.
Man. No, he's not. Something's wrong. It doesn't. His body doesn't work anymore.
Maybe he's got the.
Yips. He's not
Go
trying.
On. Move on. Move on.
Jacksonville Jaguars at the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, this is gonna be good even more, man. I want to hear your thoughts on Travis Etienne, who averages two more points per game than Alvin Kamara. I want to hear
not
why
on his
you
career
hate him
just this
so
year.
Bad.
Not
just
on his
year.
Career.
And
just
Kamara's played
year.
One less game, man. So it should be better. But,
so hasn't had as many opportunities to, you know.
Every week you're
going to
get me this ETN question, and every week you're going to get the same answer. You can't start him. He's not trustworthy enough. He doesn't get enough PPR work. He's splitting it with James Robinson. He's not getting any rushes. He's not getting touchdowns. Why would you start him then?
Game script. The negative game script this week. 8 targets coming Travis Etienne's way. Stamp.
But here's the thing. So's James Robinson. He's getting 8 targets, and you know what?
He ain't getting.
He's on the field more.
James, I'm not gonna deny it. James Robinson, I give up on him. No, yeah, ish. It's still a very even.
It's split, no ish. It's 56 to 43. I'm looking at the snap.
You act like that's huge. You crazy asshole.
13%. That's a pretty damn big number in math.
And Jaguars are leading. It's the same spiel I gave you last week. Well, and don't the Jaguars, they're not supposed to lead. They're not supposed to be leading in games. That's what I'm telling
and
you.
And what if they do? And now what if I'm they squeaking, do for the rest of the fucking
you're getting
year?
Me excited. They're not going to lead in all these games. They're not going to lead in this game.
All right. We got 2 Nosferatus on this channel. It's Mike and Dylan. They
all right
the
here,
future.
Man. But we got to move
hey,
on.
Hey, even
here.
If they're down, Dylan, we're still not going to see much of Etienne. Sorry, the first global.
Okay.
Until I see it, don't start him.
You're making such an argument. Like, it's a 9% target share for Etienne and a 6.5% for James Robinson.
Are we having this Whoop-de-doo. Conversation if Travis Etienne catches those 2 touchdowns in week 1?
No, probably not.
Exactly.
Probably not. Because
he's trusted more.
Here's the thing. He didn't.
They would trust him.
This is what we work off. We work off production, not theory.
Or my eyes. And he looks good. So does James Robinson. I think they're both startable.
It looks, you know what he looks good? Batting the ball down like this.
That's a really good vibe on move.
Ike, you know what looks good? Evan Ingram as a streamer this week.
Can you tell me why you think
I'll give him that.
Let's say you.
No, I want to see why you think that, because I don't think.
I don't know, well, man. I was setting it up like an awesome question as a host.
Let's
let LaPlante take it then. Let's see what.
Here's the thing. We got Zay Jones questionable. Fuck off. Zay Jones questionable. He's the second leading target on this offense. All right. He gets the red zone targets as well. Evan Ingram got one of those red zone targets last week. He did not catch the ball, unfortunately, which ruined his day. Well, weird. He is still. Evan Ingram is still 4th on the team in targets without Zay Jones. He's 3rd, which means he's the 3rd option behind Christian Kirk and Marvin Jones, which we saw Marvin
Dylan
Jones.
Dylan think he's 5th behind Robinson Etienne as well.
You got a point there.
You're not wrong, man.
Evan Ingram is I want to remember Evan Ingram was top 5 in tight end routes ran. So this guy is out running a route and he's going to score a large amount. When he catches
sure is running routes for sure.
I'm saying that nursery rhyme all the time, man. You're killing me over here. You're killing me. You're like Matt Eberflus in the hits principle. like acronyms and stuff, man.
What's it's better, like, that like or, Matt, high school or again. Matt Nagy going, I know how to run a football team.
He doesn't.
Never eat soggy waffles,
dude just
right?
picked up DJ Moore off waivers.
But Mike, let's talk backfield. Miles really? Sanders wow. has been okay. What do you think about him in this matchup?
He's touchdown. I mean, he's not touchdown dependent. He's a game script dependent here. And I don't care what you say about it. Philadelphia and Nick Sirianni. He wants to make Boston's got a thing. I don't know why, but he wants to. And then we also
maybe
got
Sirianni's
Kenneth
from
Gainwell.
Boston.
But then we also got Kenneth Gainwell taking away some of the targets away from Sanders. They both have the same amount of targets here. You know, the snap percentage, that's where I'm really kind of curious at, because you get Miles Sanders, who's out there more of the time, but I think it's because of the pass pro. Well, I think we're seeing it now. They want to use Jalen Hurts as more of a passer and have this offense that can do whatever the hell it wants. So I think it is really game script dependent on Miles Sanders this year. Like I've been saying, you know, last week, it's going to be a good matchup that you got to play him in. If you're playing, you know, the Rams, the Niners, weird too, that same division, but these good run defenses, mm-hmm. Bucks, great example. He's going to be a sit for me. But when you get a matchup against Detroit, Houston, the Bears, I think, you know, he's going to get some, you know, flex worthy RB2 attention.
Mm-hmm. And then we saw Devonta Smith blow up last week, man. Last 2 weeks, he's been great. Is he an every week starter now?
Yes. Jalen Hurts taking that huge step, just like we said. We got a 24% and a half target share. Like I'm going to say, I'm going to reiterate it all the time. 20% is that really that threshold we start anybody at. And wide receivers getting 20-plus target share with a passer like Jalen Hurts is showing out to be. Even if A.J. Brown gets 33% of the target share, I still see, you know, Devontae Smith at least being a wide receiver two and a solid at least being a wide receiver three and a solid wide receiver two.
A lot of people probably have him as flex too, so that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, because he was going so late in drafts because of A.J. Brown.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. We got a couple questions here. First one from Dominique. Trade CMC and Waddle for Deebo Samuel and Derrick Henry. I would not do that.
No.
Love what we've seen from Waddle minus last night. Like we said earlier, I think he's still going to be fine with Bridgewater getting the ball in his hands and letting him run. I think CMC is fine. The quad injury doesn't worry me a touch, but I'm staying put with Waddle and CMC.
Man, that is a pretty even trade, I think, here, because your better receiver is Deebo, and, you know, the Henry side has it.
Is he,
and,
though? Yeah, he hasn't Waddle been thus right far. Now. He hasn't been thus far.
He's been consistent. Waddle's been explosive, but not consistent.
Waddle's also won you a week. Deebo hasn't.
I mean, Deebo hasn't lost you any weeks, though. Jalen Waddle's going to lose you this week. What was his stat line? 2 for 40?
Yeah, I think he had like 5.7 points or 6 points, yeah.
Yeah, that's a loss. Deebo Samuel hasn't scored under double-digit points this year. I'd have to double-check that, but I'm fairly certain. It's a straight-up good floor. So, man, that one's a tough one. It's pretty even. I still lean keeping CMC, though, because this is a guy that can absolutely fucking win you your week.
Just he's not getting the receiving work we'd like to see.
He's not, but he's got a great floor just like Deebo.
Next one, I picked up DJ Moore off waivers and dropped
That's
Gallup.
Great.
Was it a good move, or do you think Gallup will be better in the long run?
I think you got to drop somebody else and try and pick up Gallup back if you have that option, because Gallup's going to come back and he is going to be an integral part of this offense.
He'll be like what Noah Brown is right now, just a little bit better.
And he'll have Dak Prescott.
Which is like wide receiver 28 or something like that.
Yep.
And I'm not a Gallup guy. So, but we'll move on.
That's right. You can get up instead.
Huh? New York Jets at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That was bad.
take both of this. Take this to both of you guys here. Let's talk through Zach Wilson coming over to take back his job from Joe Flacco, guys. All right. Flacco leads the league in passing attempts through the first 3 weeks. I think we could all agree that that's not going to be the case for Zach Wilson.
Agreed.
I don't see why they're going to do that to him.
You might be able to cut that in half.
Yes, right. What do we expect? Let's just start with the pass catchers. You know, everyone loved Tyler Conklin. Oh, he's a popular streamer this week. But he's seen like 7-8 targets each game. I don't think we're seeing that this week from Zach Wilson, man. We've seen that, like, he's got chemistry with Elijah Moore, you know, stuff like that in the past. But like I said, the volume's not going to be there. What do you guys think?
Like I said, you probably got to cut most of that in half for all those guys. If
I wouldn't say half, I'd say three quarters.
Or close
because
to, like,
as much as we love this, you know, this offense, this defense is still pretty bad. So they're going to have to throw the ball. That's the thing.
Now, I'm a little worried about Garrett Wilson. Getting the 10 targets or whatever, he'll probably drop to like 6-7 probably.
No, where'd Dylan go? I didn't even see him leave. There we go.
I'm here, man. I was blowing my nose. I didn't think anybody would see that.
Oh, come on. Just mute your mic. You're so self-conscious.
I think this helps the running backs more, though, actually.
Really? I'm actually opposite of you.
Really? I think they're going to get more carries to the running backs.
Yes, they might get more carries, but what was giving them their value was the PPR work, these 10-plus targets a fucking game for both of them, and that was Joe Flacco's doing. I don't think Zach Wilson does that.
He might. I haven't seen him play in so long, and I kind of forgot how he played a little bit, but I did know he liked,
like shit,
he liked Corey Davis. I know that. He was a big fan of using Corey Davis. So
he liked Elijah Moore.
Near the end, yes.
Mm-hmm.
near the end of his life. What?
And then we got that. Now I asked you guys just pretty much about the Jets offense. Let's talk about the Steelers offense that's underwhelmed, guys, with Mitch at quarterback. Najee Harris is still a volume dependent guy, but and he's finding the end zone to save his week, but he's got no ceiling right now in this offense. Do you guys agree or am I off here?
Yeah.
This offense has no ceiling. Let's be honest. The Steelers is just pitiful when it comes to, I don't know if it's Mitch. I don't know if it's play calling. Maybe it's just a combination. It's just terrible.
It's Mitch.
And you guys were a Bear fan, so I can see why you think that. But Matt Canada does not look like he is drawing up very good plays here either for Mitch. Like, because you gotta play to his specialties right now, and I don't feel like he is. He's trying to treat him like, I mean, I don't see as much play action as I would like to see from Mitch Trubisky. Granted, they can't run the ball, which they can't then turn into
offensive
play action.
Offensive line is real bad too, man.
But they need to work something in here to get Mitch Trubisky on the run, because honestly, I think he's a better passer on the run than he is in the pocket.
Agreed. Yeah, he made some plays on the run the last game we saw from him. So yeah, I agree with you there.
So I think it's a little bit the scheming, a little bit Mitch Trubisky, because Mitch Trubisky obviously can't transition into this pocket passer we want him to be.
No, Nagy tried to turn him into that for three seasons, and it's not.
But Matt Canada can't do what he wants to do either with this offensive line struggles. So
agreed,
they got to kind of meet in the middle.
Agreed. You're still starting Deontay Johnson, guys. I think.
Yep. Lineup Clay, lot. You're forced to start Najee, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're just hoping for a touchdown from him. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Deontay's he's still getting fed targets, guys. And I don't know what his target share off the top.
His air yards is up there.
Yeah, me and LaPlante saw that earlier today. He's top 10 in air.
Mm-hmm.
Top 10 in air. Oh no, he's top 5 in air yards. I'm pretty sure.
It's nice, man. But we can jump over to the next game, guys. Arizona Cardinals at the Carolina Panthers. Like, is this the game that Kyler and this offense finally breaks out?
You might have to wait another week. This is Panthers defense is solid, but I don't think the Cardinals are going to have to do much to beat him. So you can probably see James kind of run out the clock a lot as long as he's playing. I'm pretty sure he is. I don't remember. But I'm assuming a modest day from Kyler probably. Like, you'll be lucky to reach 20.
I just want to see the rushing floor come back because it's non-existent. I get it.
I'm not sure what happened.
I'm going to go on a rant here a little bit. LaPlante's gone, so we might as well. I'm sure they don't want Kyler running around because they don't want him to get banged up before the end of the year like the previous years. The problem is, though, you have to get to later in the season for those important games first.
And to get you need to use Kyler with his feet.
He's got to make plays. Like LaPlante saying Mitch being stuck in the pocket, Kyler's kind of the same way. I've seen most of his games because it's always an afternoon game. Yeah, he's not doing enough of that. When he did that in the Raiders game when they needed to come from behind and Kyler pulled that schoolyard bullshit, that's when it worked and everything was flowing, man, and they came back and won that game when they looked like they had no chance. I just want to see the Kyler of old, and that's not what we've seen through the first three games, and it's really frustrating.
I don't think this will be the game either with the Panthers.
Yeah, you might be right, but I did. But what I have liked from this offense, man, is Greg the Deutschman Dorch.
Deutschman.
You can plug him in as your wide receiver three and totally feel okay with it. I mean, it's a little
until Hopkins comes back.
Hold on, yeah.
Or Rondale Moore.
I was just gonna say, even if Rondale Moore plays this week, he might take some slot snaps over him as well. But it's really just been Marquise Brown and Ertz so far, besides Dorch. So I think he'll still have a spot in this offense because Rondale Moore is just not gonna come back and play 100% of the snaps. That's just not gonna happen with the soft tissue.
Once Hopkins comes back, though, I promise you, Dorch is gonna become irrelevant.
The Deutschman.
I love him right now, though, man. I think
I know. Ride him while he's hot.
You might have this week might not be the week to actually have him in your lineup, though.
Well, I mean, you got J.C. Horn lining up against Marquise Brown.
But like I said, they might not have to do much.
But you also have A.J. Ground. A.J. Green.
A.J. Ground. Like, I can see James Conner getting 2-3 touchdowns for some reason, just because they can keep it on the ground, getting, let the Panthers just kind of just do their thing on offense, not really do anything.
I mean this respectfully, but I can see James Conner probably getting about 1 to 2 injuries this game.
Eno Benjamin time.
I said respectfully. I mean, he always gets injured. I mean,
so that means you can say whatever you want with
no reproduction. No, I don't wish it. It's just I wouldn't be surprised.
Mike, jumping over to this next offense, the Panthers. If CMC is out, which we can't call it an offense.
I'm sorry.
Yes, we can. We call the Bears offense an offense. It's fine. It's fine.
It's an in between.
If CMC is a no-go, who are you going with, Foreman or Hubbard? CMC is questionable right now with a quad injury. Sounds like he's going to try to play, but sketchy.
What's sketchy here is CMC being out and trying to have to start either of these guys. You are only starting either of these guys if you are a CMC owner. All right, let's be straightforward here. It's a 50-50 timeshare between Foreman and Hubbard when CMC has been out. All right. So we can't really start either because, you know, committees suck, especially in an offense that sucks. So we can't really start either. But if you are a CMC owner and you are forced to, you're bit in the ass by some injuries, I lean Foreman this week.
I do too. But I don't love it either of them.
No, I hate it. I hate it. And it's only if you're a CMC owner and you have to plug him in. Because there are better options. I mean, Chase Edmonds would have been a better option. But go on.
Sure. Next question here. I'm going to ask you this every week. Are you starting DJ Moore, man?
And fuck no. Stop asking me this question.
The problem is, though, if you're not going to start him in this matchup against the Cardinals, who've struggled against opposing wide receivers, when are you going to start him?
You can't trustfully start him. I'm sorry. This offense is not good. We thought Baker was going to be better for this offense, but it seems like it's worse. So you can't confidently start DJ Moore until you see it again. That's the thing. He's on a pace to finish worse than he has on the consistent level with the 4 touchdowns and 1,000 receiving yards. There's no way he's going to finish at this pace.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a question here. Because I didn't want to, make anybody feel like they're being, shunned or anything. But Damon wants to know, Najee and Hollywood for Kamara and Judy. He gets the Kamara side. That's one where I'll agree with you. You keep Najee and Hollywood.
No.
Oh, you take Kamara and Judy, really?
No, I would take he would get Kamara side. I would keep Najee and Hollywood.
I misunderstood your no, like Dylan misunderstood our questions that he writes.
I don't trust Judy.
Yeah, I don't really a whole lot either. Next game we got here, guys, New England Patriots at the Green Bay Packers. Ike, are you starting any Pats player this week? And I hope you're going to say Ramondre Stevenson.
I want to start Ramondre Stevenson, but against this Packers defense, no. Moving forward, Ramondre might actually be a really good play. He's starting to take over the carries and all that from Damian Harris, and he's starting to get the receiving work like we've seen. So this week, you can probably leave him on your bench. Hopefully, you have a better option. But moving forward, he's definitely worthy of a flex option.
Devin Singletary or Ramondre Stevenson?
This week, Devin Singletary.
I don't know where I thought of that. Randomly popped in my head.
Weird. I like Ramondre Stevenson this week because, Dylan, you brought up a good point. Brian Hoyer likes to dump it off. He's a smart guy. He likes to game manage. Ramondre Stevenson could see 10 targets here. So I do like Ramondre Stevenson this week. Rest of the season as well.
Mm-hmm. Now we got the Packers here, Mike, because we can't really start anybody else because, Mac Jones isn't playing. You can't trust any of those receivers from the Patriots.
No, I mean, you can't trust Devontae Parker's 150 yards.
No, definitely not. But we got A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, man. Who would you rather have this week and why?
All right. So my apologies. It was A.J. Dillon or Aaron Jones this week. Well, A.J. Mm-hmm. Dillon is coming off of the injury report, which is good, but it still begs the question. He's injured. So this is a tough New England Patriots defense. This is the pride of their Bill Belichick's team. So they like to take away the number one option in the offense here. And I think it's just the running game altogether. So yeah. I want somebody that's going to get a little bit, you know, the opportunity in the red zone and the PPR work, which I know it's kind of fairly even, but the edge still goes to Aaron Jones.
Mm-hmm. And if the Patriots have a strength of their defense, it's definitely their defensive line and front seven.
Oh, big time.
So if they want to stop the run, I think they'll have the ability to stop the run. The problem is if they try to do that and then get which they might, it probably makes the most sense to do that and then challenge the Packers receivers to beat them on the outside one-on-one. The problem is that's the Patriots' weakness is their secondary. They don't really have any lockdown guys there right now. It's like Jalen Mills and some other goofballs. But the next one here, this one intrigues me, and I'm honestly curious your thoughts here. Lazard or Romeo Doubs? We saw Doubs looking like he has some chemistry catching the touchdown. I think Alan Lazard caught the touchdown. I know he caught one the previous week, Mike. Fix the banner on the screen, please.
No, yeah, my bad. I didn't give you the heads up he was coming back in.
But who do you want this week? And let me know if your answer is different rest of season.
I believe the hype train for Romeo Doubs is in full effect here. He is the PPR monster. Alan Lazard is the touchdown dependent guy. Romeo Doubs showed to be, you know, kind of like a, I mean, Aaron Rodgers was talking the shit up about him after that game. And I know he talked about Alan Lazard, but I heard a lot more positive comments about Romeo Doubs from Aaron Rodgers than Lazard has had in 3 years of being in Green Bay. So I
block here, man.
That's about the best comment he's got. But I do like Romeo Doubs rest of the season, and I do believe that was his coming out party, and it's going to be pretty hard to get him for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Sammy Watkins on the IR for the time being.
Do you like Lazard, or do you think he deserves to be on benches until he gets to see a little bit more volume and not so touchdown dependent? 10 seconds.
He's a flex play. I mean, that's about it. As a wide receiver 3, he's borderline, but you're really looking at, you know, the matchup tendencies at that point because it is, you know, 9 targets through two games, and the injuries just seem to pile up with him.
Oh, sure. Next game we got here, this awesome Denver Broncos offense, guys. We're just talking about all these stud offenses tonight. Denver Broncos at the Las Vegas Raiders. Like, Russ, man. Awful so far. That's the only way to put it. But can you start him in this matchup against the Raiders?
Raiders are allowing 21.3 points to quarterbacks. If you want to start Russ, this is probably the week to do it. Trust. Big week for him, so you got to trust him.
Yeah, I could kiss you for saying
divisional matchup.
I agree 100%. I wrote about him in Start Sit article, fantasysixpack.net, guys. Shameless plugs all night. Go on. Put some eyes on that. It's a pretty good article.
Fuck you, shameless plug when you're by yourself with your wife.
Jesus, man. She's probably listening. Yep, right. But then we got next one here. Like, what do you think about everyone around Russ in this offense? You know, with Russ struggling, the whole thing's kind of came crashing down. I think LaPlante said earlier about Cortland Sutton air yards is kind of, he's got a whole shit ton of them. He's not doing a whole lot. I feel like I watched the ball bounce off Jerry Judy's hands a few times every week. What are you thinking here with everyone else around Russ?
Like I thought, I don't think he trusts Judy. I think Cortland Sutton is his go-to guy. I think Sutton will have a good game. But it's really going to rely on the running backs. I feel like if he can get the ball to Javonte and Melvin Gordon, they'll do fine. I think Melvin Gordon's actually a sneaky good play this week. So
I like that thought as well, man.
And this question goes hand in hand with, you know, the matchup we're talking about. Monique wants to know, playing Singletary or Jacobs this week, guys?
I'm going to go Singletary. I want a piece of that game, man. If you can. If
Denver's
you can
got
get
a tough run defense.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
And that over-under in that Ravens-Bills game is high. So you want
it's any juicy. Piece of
that game as you can. Yeah, it's going to be. Ooh, gets me excited thinking about it.
jumping over to... are asleep.
This is late night podcast, guys. It's got 10 o'clock Central Time.
11 o'clock Eastern. So if you're having fun with us.
But Mike, if you want to give a spiel about Josh Jacobs, go ahead. But I think the man of the hour that we want to talk about in this matchup, at least, is Matt Collins, because last 2 weeks, fuck it, he's just getting a ton of targets.
I don't know what the hell it is. If I was Devontae, I'd be fucking screaming and yelling at him.
He's mad. Car. He's what angry. The hell? He's an angry
what the hell? I mean, he gets the red zone targets. Now he leads the league in red zone targets, you know, to Garrett Wilson's 9. Devontae has 10. But, man, he should have, like, you know, this guy should be the one in the 30% target share range. He's been in that range with Aaron Rodgers. Why the hell can't Derek Carr get that out of his system and just throw the ball to Devontae Adams more? I think it's, you know, obviously the coverage is dictating this. We're going to see more of Devontae Adams get sprinkled in here, but it's upsetting because you drafted Devontae Adams in the first and second round, and he is just sucking. And Matt Collins is a little bit of fool's gold here because when Hunter Renfrow comes back, I don't see him being as relevant.
Agreed. Panic meter on Devontae Adams, like, as you're the resident Devontae Adams owner.
Red zone targets are nice.
That's what's
one to ten here, man.
Probably okay. Two.
All right. So not all too right. Worried. I like to hear that. Sunday night football, guys. Kansas City Chiefs at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, if Brady had a little bit of weapons or something, this game might be interesting. But right, let's start with the Chiefs. Starting the running back 5 in fantasy football this week, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the only man I know to finish as a borderline RB1 and have 0 rushing yards. I love it. I love
Interesting,
it.
Interesting, yeah.
Rushing attempts don't mean shit in PPR fantasy leagues, man.
No, Bucks are destroying running backs. You can leave him on your bench.
Man, he's
that's all I need to say.
I hate you, RB0 truthers. You are just running laps on us right now.
Yeah.
They can right now. That's for sure.
The laughing stops here soon.
I do agree with you. It stops soon for Clyde. I don't know if that's going to stop.
Right. Yeah.
But Clyde, yeah, I think that's going to be coming to an end here pretty soon. LaPlante, do you agree?
Yeah. The snap percentages are not in Clyde's favor here. But, I mean, if he can score a touchdown every week, again, it's not something you want to depend on. But being in an offense like the Chiefs, it's definitely something that is sustainable, I think.
It could happen, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Ike, we got to talk about the wideouts here. I remember you – I'm throwing you under the bus, right under right now. I remember you saying Smith-Schuster had wide receiver 2 upside this draft season. And he sucked. He sucked so far this year.
But I think it's safe to say every single Chiefs wide receiver sucks.
Yeah. Can you play any of these?
Sky Moore more than the
Juju's right. The only one. And but how you're going against a tough defense. It's
like maybe Romeo not this Dobbs. Week. Romeo Dobbs or Juju?
I think I take Dobbs.
I think I do too. I think it's better upside, even though the Chiefs offense is better. I think Dobbs is just a better. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to.
I take Dobbs rest of the season, but I think I take Juju this week because of the high.
I would still go Juju over Dobbs for now. For now.
Dobbs might be better. I said it.
That's why basically the same thing I just said. I take Juju now, but Dobbs rest of the season.
But I would not be starting any Chiefs receiver except for Juju if you have to. MVS can't catch a ball.
Hardman. Travis Kelsey's a receiver.
Fair enough.
Mike, jumping over to the other side. Are you starting Tom Brady after an abysmal start to the season?
This question should be directed to Ike. He's the Tom Brady residency owner over here.
But I'm biased.
Tom Brady won him the week last week.
No, man. I mean, not until these weapons are healthy again. I mean, yeah, we got Mike Evans back. But now we got Russell Gage is on the injury report. We might have Julio this week, but he's dealing with a PCL injury. I mean, there's no tight end that's existed in this offense. As of right now, Tom Brady, I'm benching him until, you know, I get news of Gronk signing with Tampa Bay, Chris Godwin starting, or this offensive line improving.
Yeah, it's not. It has not.
I don't like it, man. No, this is. I think we may be witnessing the downfall of Tom Brady, unfortunately, and it's not his fault. It's the team.
I know. I've said this.
That means he is not downfalling. That just means he needs weapons still. But they're just
as a fantasy.
Yes. Oh yeah. Okay.
I've said this in the past when he was on his last legs in the Patriots when they didn't have any weapons. There's no shame in this. Brady needs weapons all around him to
absolutely.
He's 42 years old. He needs everything to be really good around him.
Yeah.
To be 100% successful.
He can't make it work with Juju, Mecole Hardman, exactly. Marcus Valdez Scantling.
Which, like I said, isn't a knock. He's 42 damn years old. It's gonna happen.
Back in his heyday, he could absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But any wideouts or pass catchers, Mike, you want to start this week besides Mike Evans?
If Julio's out, I do like Russell Gage, but that's only if he's playing as well. But you got to monitor.
Well, if Godwin plays
12 targets last week,
Godwin's not playing. I know that was a personal question, Ike, but he hasn't.
I'm not playing him anyways, even if he is healthy. I have Garrett Wilson, Brandon Ayuk, and Breece Hall.
You got to start somebody else than Chris Godwin this week. The one person that intrigues me is Russell Gage here. We're talking about a guy who scored a touchdown to get 10-plus receptions last week. Now, granted, this was without everybody there, but that shows trust to Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So if it's Mike Evans and Russell Gage, I like Russell Gage. But if you got to monitor that situation. If it's Julio and Russell Gage, I only like Mike Evans, honestly.
Yeah,
Julio might be a sneaky play, but it's risky as hell.
Especially with that injury.
Yes.
Then last game here, guys, we got the Los Angeles Rams at the San Francisco 49ers. Ike, we saw Akers get the majority of the work last week, but of course we see him start taking the head of the backfield, and then the dumbass idiot fumbles the football. Is that going to hurt him? Is the backfield going to go back to Henderson now, who kind of looks just as good as Akers, if not a little bit better when he touches the ball? McVay just kind of wants.
What's the eye test say right here?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. What are your thoughts, man?
Akers moving forward for the rest of the season, but for the next few weeks, you're still going to see a pretty wicked 50-50.
Man, the snap share is just such a discrepancy. 64 for Daryl, 35 for Cam.
It was last week still?
No, that's on the season.
Well, look at last week.
All
right, I'm pretty sure Cam.
It's because Cam Akers isn't going to get any of the receivers.
Cam had a 50% snap share, but so did Daryl Henderson.
Like I said, true 50-50.
The problem is Cam isn't running away with the job. That's my point that I'm trying to make. Like, he's getting opportunities to do so.
Fuck it. Try Kyren Williams.
Stop fumbling the ball.
It's really like when you got a 50-50 split like this, you're looking for the slight advantages here. Who's getting the PPR work? Who's getting the red zone work? And it's a slight edge, Daryl Henderson in the PPR work. And then when it comes to red zone, I lost the page. There it is. When it comes to red zone, it's 7 to Daryl Henderson 6. So if you want to take in total, it's really Henderson, but it's not by much.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to make this quick. Is Allen Robinson benched? He does have the same target share as Ben Skowronek.
He should be benched.
Those 6 red zone targets don't entice you?
Nope.
They're trying to get him in the end zone. Like, they think that's his thing. Contested catches in the corner of the end zone, but as a Bears fan, Ike, I'm sure you noticed that he never really caught that ball when he was a Bear.
He doesn't necessarily know where the out of bounds is or like where the first down is. He just kind of goes.
Yes,
the
field, so. Like, I know. I feel like we bring that up quite a bit because maybe might be a touch little salty at Allen Robinson and how I finished out with the Bears, but I don't think we're not wrong in that assessment though. It's not a total bad bias or anything. It's just he doesn't make the plays that it's frustrating. I'm sure Rams fans are already getting frustrated.
Yes.
Like, he had a ball go right through his hands and like hit him in the helmet last week.
I'm sure they can't wait for Odell to come back.
But I hear that they got to pull some strings to get Odell back, man. Like, I know Buffalo's making a really big push for him too.
Giants. And
Von Miller's probably like, come on, Odell, we need you.
Mm-hmm. But Mike, let's finish up here with the 49ers. I just gave you a pretty basic question here. can we expect a big game from any of these 49ers players? Because we haven't really seen it from any of them yet. Not a single one.
I'm calling my shot here. This is the week Deebo Samuel goes off, and here's the reason why. Last year when Jimmy Garoppolo was the quarterback for Deebo Samuel, he played the Rams twice, and in those two games he averaged – man, and I'm looking at this. This is standard. I wasn't even looking at PPR. Let's go to PPR and just inflate these numbers. Against the Rams in the two games he had last year with the Jimmy Garoppolo, he had 30.3 PPR points and 28.9 PPR That's points.
Nice. Yeah, the Rams. I'm calling it with Deebo. 49ers.
I'm calling it with Deebo. This is the week Deebo goes off. He's going to have the big week, but I do believe you can still start Jeff Wilson. It's just you got to temper your expectations against this defense.
Rams are pretty brutal against wide receivers too, as well.
They're
first in the league or something like that.
Ayuk, I think, is startable, but I'm not confident in him.
Mm-hmm. He's like getting the targets, man. That's all I can say.
He gets the targets, but I'm not like the question was a big game. The question was a big game.
Oh, no. I don't think Ayuk is the big game to the guy. He's more like just the solid.
He'll be like a Jeff Wilson. 10, 12 points, safe.
You're fine.
Yeah. Solid and safe, but big game's going to be Deebo. I'm calling it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You heard it here first. Deebo score 30 points. If he doesn't, you
add 25.
You add Michael Plant on Twitter.
At be like underscore Mike with two eyes. You can follow me on
Scott Fish.
So, yes. You can follow me on Twitter at dclemens2222. You can follow Ike on Twitter at ike2121. Guys, it was a blast tonight. If you liked the show as much as I did, please smash that like button. We really appreciate it. Guys, please please subscribe. We love all the comments you gave us. If you want to come in and have a fantasy chat or hell, betting, anything you want, join our Discord, guys. It's a lot of fun. It's a low price. We'll give you updates. We give you help on your lineups. We give it to you all. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, the big thing here is, guys, I know you feel like maybe we don't get a chance to answer all your questions. If you become a member of our Discord channel at fantasysixpack.net.
You have 20 analysts answering your questions.
And we'll always answer those questions. You're never going to feel ignored, all right? But other than that, you know, he's Dylan. He's Ike. I'm Mike. And I hope all y'all good luck in week 4.
Yep. And we'll see Sunday for the Sunday Social Start Sit show. Ike, you coming on?
I might as well.
There we go.
And then after football, Fantasy Football Last Call with Michael Plant and myself. Mike, I know you did a good job on that outro, so just take us out, pal.
Good luck, guys.